If you're into designer furniture and you want the sofa that broke the internet, you don't have to go broke to get it. Because Designer Looks Furniture has all the same styles and trends and all the quality, but without the designer prices. Check them out. Designer Looks at Value City Furniture or designerlooks.com.
Hey y'all, this is Amanda Shaw and you're listening to Floors Truly with Tina and Jeff.
Live from New Orleans, home of good food, good music, and tons of fun, this is Tina and Georgette with Floors Truly. Good evening, everyone. Jeff is off again this week, but I have a very special guest host with me today. Georgette, tell everybody hello.
Hello, everyone.
Georgette is joining us all the way from Canada, which is, she has the absolutely coolest story, and I'm going to let her tell you about her background and where y'all can find her online. She has the coolest story. She's not a New Orleanian yet, but she will be one day. Speak it into existence, correct, Georgette?
That is correct. Speak it into existence, my friend.
But you can tell all our listeners a little bit about you and how you fell in love with New Orleans and how you will be here one day.
Yes. I'll try and keep it as brief as I can because I could really go on and on about this story. So I first came to New Orleans in 1993. It had been a dream of mine. I was a young lass. It was my first trip and it was a Sunday. And I asked my host at my bed and breakfast, what do people do on Sundays in New Orleans? And she said, you do what everyone does when the Saints are in town. You go and you watch the Saints play football. And I had never been to an NFL game. And so I went down to the Superdome and I got myself a ticket. And I went to the game and we were playing the Green Bay Packers. And I went in and I was by myself and I sat with some very lovely people and they explained the game to me. But what was so thrilling were the whodats. I mean, I have never seen such passion. And everyone knows back in 93, we were not the greatest team in the football.
No, we were not.
We all know that. But it didn't matter. The fans were amazing. And it was just, it was such an experience. And I was in love. I just said, these are my people. And we lost that game, but it was still thrilling. And the team was just, it was just incredible. And when I left, I never looked back. And I've been a fan, diehard through thick and thin ever since then. And I fell in love with the city. I was there for 2 weeks and I have gone back almost every single year since then. So that is my how I fell in love with New Orleans story. Oh my gosh, 93. I'm really dating myself. Anyway, you can find me. I have a lovely business that I started this year. I really love it. It is saucytees.ca. And we have the sauciest little t-shirts and we just started making hoodies. I designed them all myself. I hope that when you go on the website, you find them just as saucy as I do. And that's a little bit about me up here in London, Ontario, Canada. We're about 2 hours away from Detroit, so I get to hear all about the Lions all the time. Super.
But you know what? The Lions, the Detroit fans, they're a cool fan base. So
yes,
you know,
they
really,
are. Yes, they
so
are.
Really, I mean, it could be worse. You could be close to Atlanta. You know.
Yes. Yes.
Or the Rams. Yes. You know, the Rams and their four fans that they have.
That's true. I have been to Lions games, and I must admit, they were very welcoming, and I had no complaints. We just had one interaction with a drunk fan, and to be fair, his girlfriend was very embarrassed by his behavior. But the rest of the fans were lovely. So,
yes. And I'll be honest with you and people listen to this right now, they're just going to go, oh, when I say this, but I mean, even when Falcons fans come here, you know, they have a good time. They spend their money. Oh, yeah. That's what we want. We want them to do that. So, I mean, because our city is so thrives on tourism and it's tourism and hospitality based here. So, I mean, if the Falcons fans come, they have a good time. Unfortunately, as we all know, the Packers and the Saints were supposed to play this week. It's supposed to be a home game for us. And the Packers fans travel really, really well. So, I mean, the New Orleans would have been, the bars and restaurants would have been packed this weekend with Packers fans. And they would have had a good time. We would have showed them a good time. Green Bay, I've never been, but I've had a lot of friends that have went to Saints games up in Green Bay over the years and said that they're one of the most hospitable cities in the world that they've, you know, been to for away games. So, I mean, they would have had a great time, but as we all know, Hurricane Ida hit and those plans changed, and our area has just been, and we're going to talk about the Saints a little bit later on, but I definitely need to talk about Ida and the destruction that she caused, because our cities are hurting right now. Our people are hurting. I know I did a very abbreviated version of the show last week, and I apologize for me being all over the place last week, but I'm not going to lie. I've always been honest with y'all. I'm honest with y'all on social media. I'm honest on the show. I mean, it was rough for me. I was all over the place. I was emotional. I had debated doing the show. It was a struggle. It really was. I mean, I got really upset after recording the show, because I know how many people need help right now. And we're doing as much as we can. You know, I'm trying to, you know, not feel, I guess, guilty, because I had some damage at my house, but not nearly as bad as people that I know, as well as people that I don't know. I've had strangers, you know, tweeting me and messaging me on Facebook through Louisiana Strong, asking me, you know, about different areas. And in fact, right before we recorded, I had someone ask me about Jefferson Parish and the boil advisory, because the East Bank was lifted, but the West Bank wasn't. So, I mean, I'm trying to help as many people. We're trying to get out there. And it's just, it's hard, because I'm seeing, you know, I'm not ground on the ground level out, you know, running and gutting out houses. Cause I would love to, if I could, but you know, physically I can't be out there doing it, but you know, people are sitting there emailing me and asking me questions, and it's hard because I'm seeing stuff they're sending me. I'm seeing it, you know, like, and it's just, it's been difficult. But I mean, that was the whole reason why I started Louisiana Strong back in 2016. And for those who follow me online, you know that I've talked about it. Louisiana Strong is a recovery disaster assistance group that I started back in August of 2016. The areas of Southeast Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Parish, Assumption, Livingston, there was like 100-year flood is what they called it, which is crazy that we say those things, because we've had floods like that since then, but they call it the 100-year flood, and it devastated. I mean, people like were literally sitting in their homes, and we had rain and it just never stopped. And the next thing you know, water's coming in their houses, like, you know, an hour or two later. It was really, really bad. And because they were such small towns, they weren't getting the national attention that they really needed. They weren't getting the resources. So we started a group called Louisiana Strong, and we started it on Facebook. And what we were doing was posting information and getting assistance. And then I myself, you know, with my husband, with his coworkers, they had families that were displaced, that were living with other people. So we would go and collect supplies, and we purchased supplies. We go collect supplies from various groups that were in the area. I came home, packed a bunch of little boxes with care packages to go deliver to some of these families. And you'd have thought that I gave them like $1 million. They were so grateful. Like water. This is one thing people don't think about. We learned this after Katrina. It's icy pops, freezy pops that you put in the freezer, you know, put them in a nice chest and keep them cold for people and deliver them. Because when their power is off and it's hot and they're gutting out their house, that, you know, it's something to cool them off for a second. It's a sweet treat, but it also, you know, it comes in handy because it cools you off. You know, have an ice water, because I mean, again, you don't have electricity and they don't have time to go to the store and get stuff like that because they're busy gutting out their house that just flooded. Because as soon as, you know, you can get back in your home, you have to start ripping out sheetrock and getting, you know, everything that's carpet that's wet and your appliances, because I mean, it starts to get really gross in there. So that's when Louisiana Strong basically became established in 2016. And then of course, you know, when we're not in hurricane season, it just, the page is there, and we do every now and then post stuff. But of course we had Hurricane Harvey, which happened the following year. We had Laura last year. So, I mean, it seems like every hurricane season, you know, the group kind of amps back up and gets into high gear. Well, me being around Hurricane Katrina back in 2005, you know, I remember what it was like. I mean, I remember damage to my house. I remember going to people's houses, seeing two-story homes with water that was like above, you know, the crown molding on the first floor. Because I mean, the water lines were, it was just really bad out by Lakeview. You know, people, God forbid, they, you know, their families were destroyed. People passed away. It was just absolutely heartbreaking. I don't know if anybody listening that's out of our area realizes this. Ida is to me, in my opinion, so much worse. I mean, we didn't have as many people pass away, thank goodness. But I mean, the devastation is so widespread. I mean, people are still out of power that they don't expect to get power back until like 2 weeks from now. I mean, there are homes that are leveled. I'm convinced that like in areas of Jefferson Parish and Kenner that they had to have a tornado go through, because I've seen pictures that friends have sent me of two-story homes that are like leveled to the ground. And I mean, storms don't do that normally, you know, but with Ida, I mean, I'm convinced there had to either be, you know, either some kind of structural issues in the homes, which I highly doubt it. Cause when you have that many volume of homes that are messed up, I think there had to be tornadoes. And because it just, it's that bad. I mean, St. Charles Parish, Houma, Terrebonne, St. Tammany, I mean, Laplace is just that was the hardest as hearing people that were in their homes and the homes were flooding in Laplace, which is in St. John Parish. So Louisiana Strong has been up and running. I've been getting information out to people. I've been asking people to follow the page. We started a Twitter account. We don't have a whole lot of followers because, like I said, we were based on a Facebook group. But I mean, Twitter is like the way to go now. That's how everything is up to date. Mm-hmm. So now we've been posting information on there. And of course, you know, if you've been following me, you know, it's been really, really bad. And my heart just breaks for everyone that's been affected. I mean, my house in itself, like I told you, we have damage. It's minor damage. But, and I'm not even worried about it. I haven't even called my insurance company to file a claim yet because it, like I said, it's minor stuff. You know, my job is like right now is to helping people because I mean, whenever, you know, it comes time for me to have to take care of that stuff, you know, I know somebody will pay it for it, one of our friends, when they're not busy dealing with what they're dealing with, but it's just heartbreaking. We've been cooking meals for, you know, for a displaced family that's disabled. You know, we're doing everything we can, you know, ground floor. I have some people that admin the pages as well with me, but I mean, they're like in the hardest hit areas. So they haven't been able to, you know, use their resources that normally we can do at this time because they're, you know, busy dealing with their homes themselves. So it's been really devastating. And I just, you know, I'm grateful that I have a voice. And my mom, you know, used to always tell me, you know, I'm Italian and I'm a redhead. So I'm loud and I'm proud. So, you know, I'm glad that I'm you know, I have a voice that I can use to be able to help people. And I'm grateful for people like you, Georgette, and everybody that, you know, follows us online that's been sharing the information and getting the word out. It doesn't matter where you live. I mean, at all. It doesn't matter if you're in Canada, if you're in New York, if you're in Florida, if you're in California, you know, because I mean, people are affected, you know, family members of people that were affected, you know, they live out of the area, you know, they're wanting to take donations. They're like, well, you know, what do we do? Where do we send it to? And I always say this, and I'll say it again, local groups, because we know that they're on the ground, you know, and during ground zero, they're doing the work. I mean, you can follow it online and see the things that they're doing, you know, the meals, the ice that they're handing out, supplies, you know, one of the church groups from out of state came here yesterday and had non-perishable food box that they were giving out. They were giving out cases of water, cleaning products, which I mean, you don't think about that, but I mean, like we're already in a pandemic. So masks are not difficult to find, but I mean, right now when everybody's trying to buy the exact same thing, like gas cans and, you know, cleaning products, and again, if your house is gutted, you don't have time to go stand in line at Lowe's. I know when I went, was it a couple days ago, went to go get two gas cans, and what normally would have took me like, you know, a 30 to 45 minute trip to get in and out and get home. You know, I was there over an hour and a half because I had to stand in line to get into the store. Then once I got into the store to get what I needed, I had to stand in line to check out. So, I mean, if my house was like flooded and I'm trying to rip out everything, or I've got wind damage and I'm trying to pull out sheetrock and insulation, you don't have time to do that. So that's what Louisiana Strong's for, is to help share those resources. And I'm grateful for everybody retweeting everything and joining the group, because that's, you know, that to me, that's how we're helping right now. I wish that I could go and be at the houses, you know, but unfortunately for medical reasons, I can't, you know, I can't deal with all of that. So I'm doing what I know that I can do. And, you know, again, I'm grateful for all the support that we've had. Go check us out. We're Louisiana Strong on Facebook. And now we have a Twitter account. It's at LA Strong Group. And, you know, we're doing what we can. And of course, if you hear any tips or anything, definitely share them with us. You know, because we're covering a large area. It is just, you know, it's absolutely heartbreaking. And the more pictures that I get, and the more people that are starting to come back that evacuated, and they're telling me their stories, you know, it's just, it hurts. It's hard. I mean, we're Louisiana Strong. We are, we're resilient. We'll come back from this, but you know, it's been frustrating. I know you and I were talking about this, Georgette, like the battle of with the internet and mm-hmm. Cox not working. We had one of the parish presidents on the radio, and she was complaining about how, you know, basic resources, they weren't online. Like there have been issues with Cox. You know, so people that, number one, work from home, or trying to get information, you can't listen to the internet, especially everybody has those Echoes or, you know, Alexas or the Google, I don't know what Google's version of it is, but like that, you know, Amazon Alexa and the Amazon Echo. But I mean, people are trying to listen to the radio because they don't, you know, nobody has a portable radio hardly anymore, and you don't have internet. And here it is, you know, a week later, and they're complaining about that issue. AT&T, I mean, depending on who you have, Sprint, AT&T, Verizon, AT&T was down, and they were complaining about that because they weren't communicating with the Paris officials, like, hey, what's going on here? So thankfully, I have Verizon. A lot of my friends had AT&T. I couldn't get in touch with them. That's a scary thing when you're trying to reach people. You know, you don't know what's going on. I can't get a hold of them. You know, you're texting and it's like nothing. You call and it goes straight to voicemail. So that's been a real big issue here. And then of course the power companies, I mean, they're doing, like, I see the linemen work, you know, I have friends that have been feeding the linemen all over the place because they're, you know, they're here from out of state and they're doing their job. They're working from sun up to sundown and, you know, they're sleeping in their vehicles. But I mean, you got Entergy, Clico, Demco, they're doing what they can. It's just when you have this much damage all through the area, it's almost impossible to say, hey, we're going to have it up and running within a week.
Yeah.
It's just really just heartbreaking. And, you know, I know we'll be fine. I know, you know, we're going to get through this and we will bounce back. We did it, you know, after Katrina, nobody gave really, you know, say, oh, the Saints are going to leave. And, you know, New Orleans is never going to be the same again. And New Orleans bounced back with fire, you know, and now look at us. And we're very blessed for speaking of sports is that the Superdome didn't have a lot of damage. It was mostly cosmetic from what I heard. The Saints facility had minimal damage. They don't have power right now. And that was one of the reasons why the Saints left and went and practiced in Dallas. And then, of course, they moved the game to Jacksonville on Sunday. But, you know, so, I mean, yeah, we're going to bounce back. It's just going to be a long recovery. So whatever you can do, find a local church group, local nonprofit organization, you know, if they're coming to help here, if they're taking donations, if you got old clothes in your closet and you've been, you know, saying, hey, look, I'm going to pack this stuff and donate it. Now is like the great time to do it because people have lost everything and they're in need. And, you know, you just don't understand like how small of a donation or how small of an effort that you make will make a difference in people's lives. I've seen it personally myself, and you know, we'll continue to be there and do what we can, you know, as time goes on.
Absolutely. I think that it's been really critical for the notifications that you've put out on Twitter as well. I've seen people, as I've retweeted stuff, I've really appreciated when people have retweeted the stuff that I've retweeted, because that's the only way the information gets out to everyone so that they know where to go to get the free meals and the places where they can wash their clothes and get access to the stuff that they need, the food, the water, all of it. So, I mean, you're right. Louisiana gets through this stuff. The Gulf Coast gets through this stuff, but the only way we do it is if everyone, I always say we, like I'm there, but anyway.
Well, you will be, so you're one of us now. I mean, geographically, you're not, but you're one of us. She grabbed a hold of you. She's not letting go. Trust me.
I know. It's so true. It's so true. But I really do. Like, I swear to you, that whole weekend that Ida was coming through, I don't think I put my phone down. And I prayed for everyone and I kept checking and refreshing Twitter and just checking on everybody and sending out messages of hope and prayer. So, you know, I'm hopeful that as I watch everyone try and rebuild, that everyone stays strong. And, you know, it's tough. It's so hard to get through times like this, but I know that everyone's going to stay strong and get through it.
And together, that's how we do it. I mean, we did it, you know, we did it before. I mean, the crazy thing is, and people, you know, were messaging me and they said, has it really been 16 years? Is this the exact same day Katrina hit? And I said, yes. I said, and that's the part that, you know, really is the scariest, because people, you know, they're back in their homes, they've recovered. You have PTSD. Some people do from that. Uh-huh. And because, I mean, you lost everything once and then you've got a Cat 4, you know, barreling towards you. And it's like on the exact same date, like really, you know, like, I mean, I don't question things. I'm not a why me, you know, I don't sit there and question things because I know, you know, there's a plan for every one of us and that plan is already written. And, you know, we don't always agree with it, or we may want something and it happens later than we wanted it to. But I mean, you know, I don't question, everything happens for a reason. I don't understand this, you know, and I'm sitting there like looking at it, like really, like this date, this particular date, there's been like 4 storms, you know, that have hit. And it's just like, you know, like, in Louisiana has just been through so much. And that's what people were saying, like, gosh, you know, y'all are just, you know, really have bounced back. And, you know, we dealing with all the new festivals and the new businesses that have come here, and, you know, New Orleans hosting Super Bowls and, you know, the NCAA tournaments and just all the things going on in the city, you know, and she's a beautiful city. And then you've got this, and it's just like, really, but it with this storm with Ida, you know, New Orleans got hit, but just not nearly as bad as the other cities. And people say New Orleans, and I'm like, well, no, it's not really New Orleans that, you know, that got affected. I mean, yes, people did, but I mean, if you go and see some of the images I posted from St. John and LaPlace, I mean, these people, their homes are, they've lost their homes. And Grand Isle, I mean, they don't have homes to go back to. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, me having what happened with us at our old house when Katrina hit, you know, with roof damage, I mean, I had a house to come back to. But I mean, you know, people didn't. I mean, their houses flooded. You don't, you know, a lot of times it's so bad. I mean, you're trying to get in there. But I mean, like, these people, this is the exact same thing that happened. I mean, we've got areas that flooded. We've got areas, you know, like I said, the images out of Kenner that I'm still convinced, you know, was a tornado. Yeah. Those houses are leveled. They don't have a home anymore. They can't rebuild that. There's no rebuilding those homes. No. And, you know, they've got to start over. So, I mean, it's just hard. It's hard to see that. It's hard to hear it. You know, especially, like I said, we're sitting here recording this podcast today, and, you know, I'm in my home, and, you know, life is somewhat normal for me, and it makes me feel bad. But it also drives me to do everything I can, you know, to try to help other people, because I was blessed. I was fortunate. And, you know, I felt like this when the flood in 16 happened. I was like, you know, I got to do something. I can't sit on my butt and not do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to get out there and help. I was like, somehow, some way. I was like, because at the time, like, two of my coworkers, this was the one thing, like, really got Louisiana strong off the ground for me. I had two coworkers at the time whose houses flooded, and, you know, they had never experienced this before.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.
Had flood insurance, or at least they thought they had flood insurance. Well, they did, but what they had was they had structural coverage. They didn't have contents coverage, and they didn't realize they didn't have contents coverage, because when you buy your house and you're not in a flood zone, you don't have to have flood insurance. So you have to go to your agent and actually ask for flood insurance. It's not escrowed out of your house when you close, because it's not a necessity. Sorry, I can't talk. It's not a necessity. So you go and pay for it. And they didn't realize that. They realized, you know, like, oh, wait, so like everything in my home, everything that I own inside my house is not covered. And when you got little kids, I mean, you're trying to replace things. And so, you know, they didn't know any of this stuff. And come to find out, a lot more people were like that. Their agents just offered them, you know, basic flood coverage, and it was structural and not contents. So here they are, you know, in their homes, everything that they've owned, you know, is damaged or destroyed. And, you know, now they're like, okay, how am I going to replace all of this stuff? And that was, you know, really one of the reasons why, like, I started the group, because I was, you know, people didn't realize trying to get this information out. And I mean, now, you know, 5 years later, you know, it's other different kind of information. Like I said, we're dealing with issues with the power companies, energies. There was a bull advisory, and a lot of people didn't even know, you know, that they had announced that it was up, because you can't listen to the radio. I heard it on WWL, which is the local news radio station here. But I mean, a lot of people don't know that. So, you know, they're working off of their phones. And of course, with social media nowadays, you know, a simple tweet that takes 2 seconds, or a post on Facebook, and that's how they saw it. So, you know, it's like, I know we're going to be okay. I truly believe that. I know that, because I mean, we, you know, we don't know anything else. And the thing that's so wonderful about people here in this community, and I say community, I mean, like, all over the area. I don't mean just like my local city and parish, but this community, is that when we're done fixing our house, we're going to help our neighbor, and we're going to help our friends, and we're going to help our coworkers, because that's just how we do.
Yep.
You know, people are outside. People are outside. And I told you this when we were talking yesterday about it. I think it's the coolest thing. And I wish I had these people's names so I could share with y'all and give them credit, but I unfortunately don't. But there's a lot of groups out there that are cooking, and they're cooking jambalaya, they're cooking gumbo, they're frying fish, they're cooking hamburgers. These are organizations that have collected money and come here. And there's a lot of great groups, like Samaritan's Purse is here, Mercy Chefs is here, a lot of local churches, a lot of schools. But I saw a group on the side of the road, and it wasn't a lot of people. It was like 3 or 4 people, and they were barbecuing, and they only made like 50 plates. And I stopped and I said, "Hey," I said, "you know, who are y'all with?" And they're like, we're not. We're just, you know, we live, you know, a couple miles down the road and just decided to get together and do this." They didn't have a lot to give out, but what they were doing was absolutely incredible. They didn't have to. They weren't with an organization. It wasn't their job. They didn't collect money. It was people, probably they were sitting in their living rooms talking to each other. "Hey, look, we got to do something," just kind of like you and I are. That's right. I thought that was the coolest thing. But guess what, y'all? They aren't the only one out there doing that. There's tons of people out there doing that, you know, restaurants that have extra food that are out there cooking, and, you know, they're not asking for anything in return. That's what we do here. That's why I say we are Louisiana strong. It's the most awesomest thing ever. People's like, "Oh, you want to keep dealing with hurricanes every year?" And no matter where you live, you're going to deal with stuff, tornadoes, earthquakes, blizzards, hurricanes. I wouldn't live anywhere else. I love my home. I love my city.
Well, this is it. And I always tell people, I live in a snow belt. There are times when there's so much snow here, I have nowhere to shovel it, that I'm fearful that the roof on my house is going to cave in. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm being serious. The snow is piled so high, we're afraid to cross out into the street. And for my friends that will tune in and listen to this, they'll laugh at me because they'll say I'm slightly exaggerating, but I'm not.
I know you're not. My mom's from New York. She was from New York.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, and so every area has its weather thing. And so when I saw those tweets last weekend, or the Ida weekend, with the people that were saying, "I don't know why people stay in Louisiana. I don't know why people stay in New Orleans. You people all sign up for these hurricanes." I thought that was, aside from being hurtful and straight cruel, I felt like, what's the purpose in saying stuff like that? And aside from that, weather happens everywhere. So
look what happened in New York. Yeah. Look what happened in New York from Ida.
Exactly.
More people passed away. I know. In New York than they did here. And bless their families. Cause I mean, I can't imagine, but I mean, look what Ida did in New York.
I know.
So,
but I just never understand what purpose that kind of behavior serves in the world.
It got me. I was so angry. I was shaking. I was so mad. Yeah. I was like, why would you say that? Instead of like, "Hey, what can I do to help?" But I mean, right. You know, there's internet bullies out there everywhere. And
agreed.
You know, it is what it is. I mean, it is what it is. No, you know, the most incredible year as a Saints fan here, and Saints won the Super Bowl. And, you know, it was euphoric in the air. You know, it was just an incredible year. And, you know, and there was people out there that had something to say about it. So, you know, no matter what happens, there's going to be haters. So I try not to pay attention to it. They just caught me at the wrong time because I just was, you know, I was trying to deal with, you know, my friends and family and make sure everybody's okay. And, you know, get things running with LA Strong and, you know, just trying to like regroup and get, you know, my feet on the ground to, you know, realize just what happened here. And then to see that, I was just like, I was angry.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I mean, hey, look, like I said, anybody listen, if you feel like that, hey, that's fine. That's your prerogative. You know, we're going to bounce back. We're going to be better than ever. And 100. It's just what it, you know, as it is. So, you know, that's why we're Louisiana strong. That's why, you know, this is one of the best places in the world to live. And, you know, we're going to be okay. So, you know, again, I appreciate all our supporters out there and everybody that's doing what they can to help us. You know, I know everybody will be tuned in this Sunday as our Saints. This is weird.
I know.
Because it was supposed to be a home game. And of course, you know, we're playing in Jacksonville, which is not that far. I have friends that are actually going to the game.
Yeah.
It's within driving distance. They're playing at TIAA Field against the Packers. The Saints are the underdogs, which I mean, hey, you know. I'm not surprised. Jeff and I used to always go on the record right before the game, when we do the show before the game of the week and go do our prediction. So I'll ask you as well, Georgette, what you think is going to happen. But we are the underdogs.
Yep.
But I mean, I think it's going to be a close game. I think that, you know, the Packers have had a lot of drama in the offseason. I mean, everybody that is following football, they know what happened with Aaron Rodgers. Is he coming back? Is he not coming back? They've had drama over there too. you know, we've had drama too. Yeah. But I mean, you know, emotions can work both ways here. You know, like, I mean, the team, yes, they're displaced. It's a struggle. Their players have had damage to their homes. They're away from their family and friends. You know, it's tough, but that can work both ways. It can play in our favor or it can be a distraction. But I mean, this team has faced a lot of adversity. And so, you know, I don't really think it's going to affect us that much. I do think it's going to be a close game. I've always thought it was going to be a close game. Mm-hmm. I still feel like that today, even prior to what, you know, happened with Ida. So, I mean, I think it's going to be like a 3-point game, which I think we're like, I think Green Bay is favored by 4. I haven't looked at the line today, but I think I remember yesterday it was 4. And if I'm wrong, forgive me for that, because I really hadn't been like in tuned like I am normally, because I've been mm-hmm. doing so much stuff for the hurricane relief. But yeah, I mean, you know, so I think it's going to be a close game. But I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to just have 3 hours of normalcy, you uh-huh. know, where I can just unplug, and I probably won't, because I always live tweet the great games, but I just want to sit and like just enjoy my football game and just escape for 3 hours. It's the Saints have always done that for me in times when I've had issues. It happened at, you know, after Katrina. It happened when my mom was sick and you know, going through radiation, and then, you know, I lost her. So I mean, like, that was like, that year was so hard for me. But I mean, on Sundays I could just get away and escape for just 3 hours and not think about it. So, you know, I mean, I know that does a good distraction for a lot of people, whether they'll be watching at home, if they still, you know, if they don't have cable and power, they'll be listening on the radios. I've had people tell me if they got to camp out in their car and listen on mm-hmm. WWL, they will. That's, you know, how much this team means to the city and what they've done for us. I mean, Mrs. Benson came out and donated $1 million to the Gulf Coast Recovery Fund. A lot of players are heading up different fundraisers and have, you know, donated and working with different organizations. I know once they get back here and, you know, they're back in New Orleans, that they'll be probably doing a lot more. It's just, you know, right now they're focused, they've been practicing, and now, you know, like I said, they've got to play out of the area. But I mean, they've already done a whole lot. There's been so many local organizations and local businesses here that have donated. So, you know, we're grateful for having such a team that's so entwined with the community. I mean, they love us as much as we love them. So I think it's awesome. I hope we win. I want us to win, you know, one, because I love the team and I'm a fan, but two, the community needs to be lifted. I don't know if that's going to happen, because like I said, I mean, it's the Packers. I mean, you know, I was concerned about this game when I, you know, first saw the schedule. And I mean, I'm not trying to dig on my team. I'm always a realist, but I mean, it's going to be a tough game. I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. As much as I don't like him, and I'm vocal about that online, you know, he's Aaron Rodgers. He was MVP for a reason. So, I mean, but I, you know, like I said, when you're playing on emotions, you know, Saints maybe could pull it out. I don't know. You know, I'm just ready for football. I'm ready for just 3.5 hours of normalcy, you know, and scream at my TV when I have to, because I know I will. But it's going to be a good game. So tell me, Georgia, on the record, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, call me a pie-eyed optimist. So I feel very confident about this game. I am probably on the record one of the most... I'm not a fan of Aaron Rodgers. I was trying to find the nicest way to say it. There isn't. I don't like him at all. Even as a human being, I don't care for him. So here's my prediction. I have the Saints by 10, and I've had the Saints by 10 for a long time. And then it really felt cemented for me when they called for Jameis as QB1. And I'm sure all of my... cohorts in my football pool have, I probably am the only one that selected the Saints. I bet they all picked the Packers. And I'm fine with that. I'm probably going to regret this, but I'm 100% confident that the team will pull together, because they are rallying around each other, and they 100% when they're the underdogs, and they really want to prove everyone wrong. It's usually when they surprise them. Mm-hmm. That's
the us against the world mentality. Yeah,
it's the hashtag underestimate us. And yes. I feel like they, you know, if you watched Good Morning Football and a couple of the other shows, they don't even have us wild carding this year in the postseason. So No one has us even making the postseason this year.
Yeah.
And I actually had to swallow some rage because I thought, wow, we have piles of talent. Let's
do
famous out. We have piles of talent on this team. And I don't know if everyone remembers, but Jameis Winston's actually a really good quarterback. And he,
yeah.
And I don't know if everyone forgot, but Sean Payton's a really good coach.
Yeah. That didn't change overnight.
I mean, he didn't forget how to coach football.
Jameis is young and he's got an arm. I mean, yeah, he did throw all those interceptions, but
he also didn't have working eyes before. I mean,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, you know, so I'm excited for the kid. And I say kid, I mean, because he's younger than me, but I'm excited for him. I'm excited what he can do. And I want him to prove the haters wrong because everybody, you know, it's just kind of overlooking like, oh, they don't have a real quarterback. You know, it's either Taysom or Jameis. And I'm like, it's y'all, Jameis Winston. He was a pro quarterback for Tampa Bay. I mean, hello, did y'all forget that? I mean, this kid has got talent. He's got an arm. He proved it in preseason. Yes. Just, you know, the lack of respect was, you know, and nobody's picking us to win this game. I haven't watched any of the shows, obviously, because I've been a little busy mm-hmm. right now. So this week I haven't got a chance to watch any of them, but I do see the blips online of, you know, that the Saints aren't favored to win and no one's picking us. And I'm like, hey, that's fine. Cause I mean, that happened to us the year that we were in the Super Bowl against the Colts. Nobody was picking us to beat the Colts. And so I feel like, you know, we always say it's the us against the world mentality, but really truly this year is it, because one, we've got, you know, what happened with the storm and them being, you know, playing in a different location. But I think there's going to be a lot of hoodettes out there and they're loud and they're proud. But then of course, you know, the lack of respect that this team is getting, not just Jameis personally, but just overall, our defense is going to, you know, everybody's coming back. I mean, we've got a lot of veterans, a lot of leadership there. They're very talented. I said this, you know, a couple of weeks ago in a radio interview I was doing. This is the first year I wasn't worried about the defense getting a slow start. I was more concerned about the offense because usually our defense does get a slow start. And I'm more worried about the offense this year. And in saying that, I think we're going to be fine, but I do think the defense is going to come out, you know, and ball out. It's going to take a little time for the chemistry to, you know, evolve with the or offense. And again, that's mainly because we didn't have the fourth and third preseason game. And we eliminated one of them this year. And then, of course, you know, because of Ida, they didn't play the third one. So, I mean, I think that might take a little time. But am I stressing thinking we're going to be like a, you know, a 2-15 team? No, this team is not a 2-15 team. You know, and I honestly, I think, you know, we're going to be fine. I can't go on the record and say, you know, if I think we're definitely going to win. I want us to. I think we can. I just don't know. I was concerned about this game before. So you and I kind of see different, you know, pets with here, but you know, I like the enthusiasm. This team has a lot of talent. They really do. Don't underestimate us. Don't overlook that. You know, cause it's, we are the Saints, and Sean Payton, you know, he's still Sean. And you know, Petty Sean comes out when people underestimate him. And I love me some Petty Sean.
Oh, my favorite, Petty Sean. When I think I get the most excited when Petty Sean, and if Petty Sean has been watching any of the morning shows this week, Petty Sean is going to be reaching into his bag of petty tricks.
Yes. And I don't know if he's been watching, but I can promise you he's got interns that have sent him clips of it, just like they were doing that research on that, on where's the best place to play. And for anybody listening, doesn't realize this, the Saints kind of had a say so into where they were going to play. The rumor is he had an intern look up with the most expensive hotels and the most expensive trip for Packers fans to come and play. And that's why they chose Jacksonville, because it was the most difficult and most expensive of all the cities in Florida to play. So of course that you know, that checks the box of Petty Sean, and we absolutely love it because we are just as petty here. And you know, I always say hashtag petty and proud, you know, because we love our team. And after what happened to us in 2019 with the NFC Championship game, we have earned the right to be that way. So
100%.
I support that. Before we wrap, I want to tell everybody, thank you for joining us this week on Floors Truly. I want to tell Georgette, thank you so much for joining me while Jeff is out the next couple of weeks dealing with some stuff on his own there. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family, and our thoughts and prayers are with everybody that has been affected by Hurricane Ida. You know, my heart literally is just broken for y'all. And of course, I am always available on social media. So if anybody has any questions or needs information on where to go, resources, please feel free to hit me up anytime. I don't care if it's 2 a.m. If I am up, you know, I only sleep about 4 hours a night, but if I am up, I will definitely answer you and try to get that information. And I know I'm about to give y'all a lot, so I'm going to talk very slow for once in my life. but if you need to find me, I'm on social media. I am Tina at The NOLA Girl on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Then we have the Floors Truly count. It's at Floors Truly Pod, as well as Louisiana Strong. You can find us on Facebook. It's the Louisiana Strong Facebook group. And then we are LA Strong group on Twitter. I'm also the editor and sometimes writer for Canal Street Chronicles now. So you can find Canal Street Chronicles on Twitter, as well as our website, canalstreetchronicles.com. And that's where you can get all your latest information on the Saints. We have a great group of writers there that do a wonderful job, and make sure that you follow all of them as well. And like I said, thank you again, Georgette, for joining this week. You have no idea how much I love your story. I think it is absolutely incredible. When you're ready to move here, I'm going to do everything I can to get you settled in New Orleans. I'm definitely going to take you out for some beignets and a good shrimp po' boy. But until then, tell all of our listeners where they can find you online, and tell them about your awesome t-shirt company as well.
You are the best. Thank you so much for letting me join. I have truly enjoyed this, and I will happily join you again whenever you need me. You can find me at Georgie68. That's 2 E's at the end of Georgie. And my t-shirt company can be found at Saucy Tees, Saucy Tees. TEES.ca. Happily love to see you all. Check our website out. We have our newest collection available for all of you to see. And to all of my Louisiana fam, I send you love and prayers. And if you ever need anyone to give you a listen, please just reach out and DM me. You know I'm always there for you.
And I thank all of our listeners for joining us this week. Floors Truly and everybody in our family, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And again, like I said, if you need anything, definitely hit us up. And I will see y'all on Sunday. We'll be live tweeting when the Saints take on the Green Bay Packers in Jacksonville. So I will close this show tonight with two messages for you. The first one being, who dat, baby?
Who dat?
And the second one is, we are always Louisiana strong. God bless.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.